true colors from The Desert Storm by Blue Sunshine, read by Sam Gabriel, based on the works of George Lucas. Chapter 6.
Boys, boys, boys! Ahem. Assuming I'm speaking to gentlemen, of course. I invite you to surrender now!
A rolling, aggravatingly familiar voice calls out with all due grand presentation. Ben closes his eyes, lays a hand over his face, and groans deeply. The Force loves its ironies. Fett shoots him a look.
Hello!
A voice who can only be Hondo Onaka calls out again.
Are you listening to me? I'm being very polite!
Ben coughs and gathers himself.
Yes, and your manners are most appreciated. It's just, you see, we've only just completed a coup upon this vessel ourselves.
Say what?
Hondo drawls.
Okay, enough. I don't like all this talking through a door. It's very boiling. I'm coming in, and don't shoot me.
Don't shoot us, Ben retorts. The door is forced open with a grinding screech, and the egregiously adorned figure of the Weequay pirate sweeps through the gap, wielding a cutlass in one hand and a blaster in the other.
Aha! Only the two of you,
he seems put out.
Three,
Fett replies curtly, and Ben shoots him a dark look. Fett lifts a brow and shrugs.
And where is your partner hiding?
Hondo demands, his compatriots filing into the room behind him, bristling with blasters and rifles. His eyes fall over Obi-Wan, curled on the floor.
Boy is sick,
he shouts, alarmed, and then bends down, leaning in to peer at Ben's Padawan.
Kindly stay away from him, if you would,
Ben asks softly, igniting his saber under Onaka's dark gray ear. The Weequay narrows his eyes, looking up the length of the blade through tinted goggles.
Jedi,
he comments coolly.
Now I see how you took out this great vessel with only you three.
Hondo stands carefully, the blade tip following him until he steps back, away from Obi-Wan, and Ben disengages the blade, point made.
Actually, only myself and my Padawan are Jedi.
Oh, really?
Hondo bounces on his heels and looks to Fett, who gives Ben a displeased look for the attention.
And who are you?
Ben lifts a brow and shrugs.
Recently freed, and going to stay that way,
Fett replies flatly. Hondo rears back a little, head tipping from side to side, and stills when he sees the slave brand on Fett's neck.
Good, yes, of course,
Hondo nods and whirls with flair.
That is only the matter, then, of the cargo.
The non-sentient cargo,
Ben and Fett retort together.
Hondo Onaka does not deal in slaves!
Hondo snaps sharply and then shakes himself, putting his grinning smile back on his hard face.
Yes, of course, the non-sentient cargo. You see, my men and I, well, we're very interested in that, and surely it's a bit much for just you two,
he wheedles.
Ask the Jedi,
Jango snorts, stowing his blaster as if it made him any less dangerous.
I only want off this fucking ship.
All the pirates turn to Ben, who resists the urge to frown. Behind him, Obi-Wan moans in his sleep, and Ben glances down at the boy's waxy, pale face.
I have little interest in another fight today, he sighs, and then eyes both Jango and Hondo. In fact, I think all of us can come to a mutually beneficial agreement.
Oh, Master Jedi!
Hondo smiles, sweeping out the hand holding his sword.
You have my utmost attention.
Obi-Wan opens his eyes and whines, head pounding, mouth tasting outright foul.
Master?
He calls out. A hand takes his and Obi-Wan shivers.
Cold, he mutters. Did we...
Obi-Wan frowns, blinking at the pale blue ceiling.
What were we doing?
Tracking the loss of the Chandrilin medical shipments. How much can you remember, Padawan? Master Ben inquires gently, voice low, for which Obi-Wan is grateful.
Right, that.
I fell? He asks. And then I think I need to thank someone for saving my life several times. Was that you?
That was not me, Padawan, Master Narsadeh snickers lightly. And I thanked him for you.
Everything was really bright and it actually felt good, really good, but also bad. I think I threw up,
Obi-Wan comments, licking his chapped lips. You did, his master replies long-sufferingly.
On me. Oh,
Obi-Wan mutters, sorry.
What happened?
Well, after you took a face full of spice, we hijacked the frigate from the Deveronians, were attacked by pirates, made a deal with the pirates, and now we're in a Shangri-La medical station. Sounds they lost cargo, but with all the information they'll need to ensure there are no further issues. Judicial will prosecute the smugglers to the full extent of their authority, and the rest is not our problem.
Why didn't we get the cargo back? Obi-Wan asks. I saw it, I think. Most of my head hurts.
That's because you're having withdrawal symptoms. His master smooths a hand over his forehead and through his hair, and Obi-Wan leans into the comfort. And we didn't get the cargo back because there were pirates, Padawan mine, and I rather didn't want to fight them.
Oh, that sounds smart. We get in trouble because pirates have the cargo,
Obi-Wan asks and then shudders.
I messed up, didn't I? It's my fault, and the council will say I'm not meant to be a Padawan and—
Obi-Wan.
His master drops his hand and covers his mouth, leaning over to look him in the eye. Obi-Wan blinks, little white lights dancing over his master's face.
No one is taking you away from me. You did not mess up. It was an accident.
It was quite fortuitous. We have successfully stopped an illegal smuggling operation, freed several dozen slaves, and neither of us is permanently injured. We may have even made a friend or two. Time will tell.
So, it was a good mission?
Obi-Wan asks, seeking clarity and reassurance. Yes, I'd say so. Now, his master smiles. Whether we survive the healers upon our return is another story.
Must know,
Obi-Wan moans, turning to bury his face in his pillow.
Healer Nihila terrifies me.
Inside, he basks in quiet relief at his master's promise. No one is taking you away from me. Against the pillow, he smiles. A sentiment I fully understand, his master drawls, ruffling his hair before stopping abruptly.
Still greasy,
Obi-Wan mumbles, muffled by the pillow. Quite. Master Ben grimaces and Obi-Wan giggles. Jango Fett steps off the transport and looks over the Coruscanti skyline with an unusual sense of trepidation. He'd stayed with Onaka and his crew for a few cycles, getting his strength back, relearning the galaxy, and doing a few jobs with them. Hondo's exaggerated personality was grating at times, but he was a surprisingly decent tactician and respectable leader. He also apparently had an iron stomach, Jango thought wryly, because no one warned Jango that their green ale could knock out a Sarlacc. All in all, he wasn't a bad friend to make, though Jango still occasionally cringed at the thought. When he'd earned back his keep and then some, Jango parted ways, hastily avoiding Hondo's idea of a grand send-off celebration, and made his way to Galadran with a grudge to repay. But having the governor pathetic and weeping at his feet, begging for his life, hadn't brought him any satisfaction, and Jango bit back his black fury long enough to remind himself that there would be nothing honorable in executing the man like that. All he wanted was his Beskar Gam, which the Hutun had taken from him as a trophy when Jango had been his prisoner. The governor didn't have it. Jango had him spitting teeth, blood running down his face, and he didn't fucking have it.
A man came for him months ago,
the governor whimpered,
and said to tell anyone who came looking that no one had taken it. Please, please.
No one. Narsadeh. What Jango didn't understand was why. Narsadeh had claimed his armor weeks before he had found Jango on that spice frigate, and he hadn't said anything then. Instead, he'd parted by saying, I know who you are, Jango Fett, when you remember. You know where to find me. Sideways fucking bastard. So Fett had made his way to Coruscant, though Hells knew how he was supposed to talk to the man. Jango has the death of six Jedi on his hands.
He'll get nowhere near the temple. Feeling peeved beyond measure, Django drops into one of the thousands of Coruscant visitor centers and finds a Holonet terminal on a public comm channel where anyone can contact the temple. There is no directory for who resides in the temple for security reasons, but he does manage to find where he can submit a personal entry for specific Jedi, though no doubt it will still be filtered through an AI system first. Jedi would spend all their lives on useless spam otherwise.
"Here's me, finding you. Direct hi, Shabwir," he sends,
and finds himself somewhere to eat that doesn't taste overprocessed and too long preserved. He leaves his own comlink signal and waits.
"Brown-eyed bastard, really?"
the reply comes back not an hour later, which is either impressive or means that Nasadeh gets no mail whatsoever. He also receives a date and time for the Jedi Plaza and scowls at it, because he'd rather not be shot by a zealous temple guardian, Jedi code eschewing revenge or not. Arguing with himself and pissed off by the time he decides, Django goes. He wants that Beskar gun. He earned it. It's early in the morning cycle, painfully early, but as a result, even the temple plaza is all but deserted, save the ever-present traffic lanes nearby. There are a few casual observers, nocturnal types, but it's as much privacy as anyone gets this close to the temple. As Django approaches, keeping himself discreet and idly plotting entry and exit points, though there are admittedly few, the temple guardians knew what they were doing and that building is a fortress. He can see Master Nasadeh and his Padawan already there. They're performing some form of open-handed kata, with slow, deliberate movements designed to stress the muscles and test the endurance. Nasadeh breaks away when Django's within a reasonable distance, pausing to tell his Padawan to continue, and retrieves a parcel set off to the side, slinging it over his shoulder. Django stops and waits for Nasadeh to come to him. The man is wearing light red and soft orange, Django notices. He had been months ago as well, and Django takes it in with new scrutiny. Colors held meanings when worn in armor, and Nasadeh was or used to be Mandalorian. True red was for honor, dark red for victory, but that shade, perseverance. And orange was passion, was lust for life, and yellow was loyalty. That soft orange, edging in between, that was commitment. Commitment and perseverance, very Jedi values. Very Mandalorian ones, too. Django swept an eye over his Padawan, a study of white to black, and bit his tongue. White for new beginnings, for youth, for possibility, black for justice, slate gray for remembrance, and silver. Silver was for truth, mostly. But also integrity, purity, and coupled with white, innocence. Django looked away as Nasadeh came to stand before him and focused on the boy's master instead. Nasadeh handed over the parcel, and Django yanked it from his grip in his desire to have it back. He lifts the cover and frowns at the metal scraped raw, and the new sheen of blue on the underside. "He repainted it," Nasadeh explains, "badly. So I stripped it back down to bare iron."
"And this?" he demands,
lifting a gauntlet to reveal the blue-looking underside. "Kultosis alloy." Django twitched, head jerking up in disbelief. There was no way a Jedi had... And yet it had the right sheen, the right look to it. "Would you like me to test it?" Nasadeh inquires, the blue-green-gray gaze seeming to bore into his soul. Django thrusts the gauntlet at him in challenge. Nasadeh holds it out in front of himself and draws his saber, lighting it with the blade down. It strikes the alloy and gutters out, power relay temporarily overloaded. Disperses blaster bolts, too.
"Costs a fucking ton," Django mutters.
Nasadeh tips his head neither here nor there and reaches into the bag beneath the armor and retrieves from it an object the Jedi have held for centuries, secured in their vaults. The darksaber. He holds it out. Django snarls at him, recoiling.
"Why?"
"Sasrad kuyir gotal depitat. Runi kuyir gotal deakan,"
Nasadeh murmurs, and Django flinches at the unexpected poetic refrain from the tombstone of the first Mandalorian. As flowers are grown by rain, so is the soul grown by war. Nasade watches him expectantly, and Django licks his lips, continuing. Muscles tensed for a fight he will not get.
From suffering comes compassion. From cruelty, mercy. From violence, peace. We are not born when we come into this world. We are born when we learn who we are. And we can only learn by being tested. Adversary is the crucible, honor is the way. And enlightenment the reward.
Django finishes the ode, thinking something is lost in the meaning through translation. The words ache in his chest and his bones for all that his people have lost of their history, of their true selves.
That isn't an answer, Django mutters,
feeling cowed and angry for it. He is always angry.
Why?
He demands again, half pleading with the other man. Nasade sighs and glances back at his Padawan, who hasn't faltered for lack of his master's attention. Because you are the Mandalore, and the last true Mandalorian, he says, turning back and pinning Django with that burning blue-green-gray gaze. And our people need you.
For the text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Blue_Sunshine. Music is Lonely Desert by Emily of Roll for Fantasy. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other ways to support me, as well as a link to my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.